But y'all, again, happy Father's Day to all the dads out there. And a father can be a biological father or someone that assumes the role, that fatherly role, in helping to take part in a child's upbringing. And now, no Father's Day service, I don't think, would be right here at Genesis without a top 10 list. And this one I didn't put up on the PowerPoint. I'll have to explain why this one caught my eye. My ex-wife and I, her niece moved in with us when she was 14. So we went from two cats to having a teenage girl. And they rejected my notion of dating at 37. So she had her first date at 16. And the guy came up and he blew the horn in my yard. We had to have a discussion about responsibility and respect. And needless to say, he was ringing the doorbell with his hat off next time. But top 10 list that for dads, top 10 ways to intimidate your daughter's date when he comes to pick her up. Number 10, sprinkle some dust on your daughter before she leaves. Explain that it just makes fingerprinting easier. Challenge him at arm wrestling. Introduce him to your good friend, Tony Soprano. Answer the door wearing a police SWAT team uniform. That one was actually really cool. Casually show him your collection of five shrunken heads and then yell to your daughter, number six is here. Come to the door bare-chested, do a lot of flexing. Sun's out, guns out. Introduce him to the family by calling each family member to the living room using a whistle, making them stand at attention and salute. Have the local funeral director come over and measure him. Answer the door in a straitjacket. And then as they leave, speak into a walkie-talkie. Subject is wearing khakis and a blue polo shirt driving a green Ford. I thought that one was cute. None of our dads with daughters are out here. Thomas is in the back. And there were a couple more. If you're taking notes, don't worry. I'll email them to you if you can't write them down fast enough. There's no more serious top 10 list. There's a survey of elementary children that was conducted a few years ago about the 10 most appreciated qualities for dads. He takes time for me. He listens to me, and he plays with me. He invites me to go places with him. He lets me help him. He treats my mother well. He lets me say what I think, and he's nice to my friends. And he only punishes me when I deserve it, and he's not afraid to admit when he's wrong. In the U.S. right now, there are 24 million children, approximately 1 in 3 children in this country, that live without a father figure in their home. And what that sets them up for, they're 4 times as likely to live in poverty, more likely to have behavioral problems. The daughters are 7 times more likely to become pregnant as a teen, more likely to face abuse and neglect, more likely to abuse drugs and alcohol. 2 times more likely to drop out of high schools. Fathers who are taking the serious role in raising their kids are feeling so much more pressure than they ever have. And it's always been tough. Always. There's not an instruction manual that comes with these kids. And they're facing more pressure. They face more pressure. We face more pressure. There was a recent study about fathers, and almost half felt like we spent too little time with our children. I'm part of the half, been there. And then another study, 64% of fathers say they feel like they're doing a pretty good job. In relation, almost 75% of mothers said it. So dads, we beat ourselves up a little bit more. And I think that's just part of being a guy sometimes. And what makes a good father? And how can we be better fathers? I found this article from James Dobson, focused on the family, about effective traits of dads. One thing they do, they keep their lives decompartmentalized, that it's hard for them to, things flow better for them. If we separate our lives up, then sometimes we unexpectedly leave our kids out of the most important part of it. And they realize that their manhood and their fatherhood are directly tied to their relationship with God. And it is, because time in God's Word, time in prayer, and time with God's people is essential for us to grow as men. and be better men and be better fathers. And if married, they uphold their wife as their number one friend and co-worker in life. They practice the discipline of meekness. Be humble when it's time to be humble. Be strong when it's time to be strong. And they've tied their hearts to the hearts of their children. And when they hurt, we hurt. And when they're excited, we're excited. And they're good listeners. They listen to understand and not to reply. And they make their children feel real special and believe in them. I don't mean just pumping them up, participation trophies and all that, but when they do something good, recognize it. Because I found myself doing this, that sometimes I say the bad stuff and I forget that my kid has like 95 or 96% real good stuff and never gives me trouble. And I focus sometimes on the bad stuff more than I focus on all the good things that he does. Because, I mean, they're kids, Braden's age, younger. Their parents having to go pick them up to jailhouse every night, every week. They already have a record. So not putting the top on the barbecue sauce, I guess, is the, if that's some of the worst stuff, then we're doing all right. Mercy and grace needs to be part of a father's household. We know we live in a sinful world. We trip up. We mess up. And it's hard to think about how we were when we were their age. And we did the same things. We tripped up. We messed up. We made mistakes. And it's hard to remember that sometimes. And what can the people in our lives do for us to be better fathers? Our wives, our children, our parents, those around us. Pray for us. 1 John 5:14-15. This is the confidence which we have before him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request which we have asked from him. I looked at a section of scripture, and in Ephesians, it was the chapter of Ephesians, Paul's letter. It was about a church in the city of Ephesus. And he was trying to teach them some basics about being a Christian, basic fundamental skills. And he talked about prayer in here, and I thought it was really appropriate for prayer for fathers. Pastor Graham said, to get nations back on their feet, we must first get down on our knees. That ain't happening as much in the U.S. as it used to. 35,000 person study in the Pew Research Center. Number of people that pray regularly declined about 3%. 3% doesn't sound a lot, like a lot, but when you're talking about 200, 300 million people, you multiply that 3% of 35 times that many, that's a lot of people. It's significant. And at the same time, in the same period of time, Christianity, the number of professed Christians in this country has dropped by 8%. So the end result of that is you got a lot less people praying, a lot less people being helped, a lot less people believing in God. And there's no substitute for God. Revelations, I am the Alpha and I am the Omega. He's beginning and he's the end. He is the God. Sometimes we have things that we substitute for that, but he is our God, our way. And that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with power through his spirit in the inner man. God without man is still God, but man without God is nothing. And I'm not sure who had that, who said that. It'd be hard for guys to ask for help. Any ladies in the room that have ever been on a long distance trip with your husband, you get the picture. We're hard to ask for directions. I'll go ahead and admit I'm lost. But it took me a while to get to that point. That it's hard for us to ask for help because we feel like we should be able to take care of it. A lot of guys feel like they're providers, like they're the ones that need to take care of all this. And it's hard for us to admit when we need help. One thing, Lisa matches up my clothes. Because she does a lot better job at it than I can. I didn't ask for help with that when we started dating and go somewhere. It took us one wedding for her to realize I don't do such a good job at it. And I've just come, I mean, I admit that I need help with it. And wives and children, the husband and fathers in your lives can be overwhelmed with work, maybe going to school, other things. And it's hard for us to admit we're drowning in stress and anxiety and that we're wearing out. And we need our strength renewed, and a gym membership just doesn't cut it. So when you pray, pray to be strengthened through God's power, the spirit of the inner man. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth. Faith is a fickle thing. I always like this definition of it. It's the assurance of, in, from Hebrews, it's the assurance of things hoped for the conviction of things not seen. And our heart and soul, kind of like a garden, that you can have the best plant possible, but if you don't have good dirt to grow it in, it doesn't grow. It won't grow. It's just going to, you may never see a sign of it. And we're not meant to have a spirit of fear, but a power and a love and of a sound mind. And Satan has a very distinct reason for not wanting fathers to succeed. Satan hates families. Families, if you think about it, families, good, stable families produce good, stable people that are more likely to go with their God. Satan hates all things that are God. We're made in God's image. Our original design was made to be in the image of God. And a good fatherly figure, you think about how many ways God's addressed. Heavenly Father, a father. No one comes through the Father but through me. That is one of God's characteristics. And a good father figure is a source for God to work through. And Satan will do anything to destroy that. He can use pride and fear and anger and jealousy, lust, and anything else available to break the spirit of a good father. And if your husband or father went off to war, you'd pray for him. You'd pray for him to come back safely. Men are fighting a spiritual war daily by so many things. And the devil has great tools. Adam and Eve, they were deceived. Jesus was tempted. He tempted the Son of God by using his ego, trying to use his ego, trying to use his pride. Paul says in Ephesians 6:12, "For our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the world powers of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavens." If you think about a father's portrayal in most movies and television shows, are they competent? Are they godly? Or are they a buffoon? How many times are fathers portrayed as a villain or as someone who's dim-witted? That's not how God meant for them. And that's not how so many of us are not like that, but that's how we're portrayed. Prayer can break all the bars, dissolve all the chains, and open all the prisons and widen straits by which God's saints are being held. And prayer can turn ordinary mortals into men of power. It brings power, it brings fire, it brings rain, it brings life, and it brings God. That was from Samuel Chadwick. We need men of power in this time. We're having babies being left out in cars, not by strangers, by their mamas and daddies, to die in an oven because they didn't want to take responsibility for them. We're having kids disappearing at a rate that is phenomenal, turning up God knows where, having been through God knows what. We need strong men. And I guess the saying, behind every man, there's a good woman. There's a good woman praying for them. And we need that. We need brave fathers and husbands who are willing to play more of a part than just the conception of their children. We need men that will stand up and put themselves aside for their kids and for their wives. These men aren't made up, they prayed up. They don't come ready-made like that. They are prayed up to God and they are changed. Without God in our lives, we can be the worst of the worst. But with God, we can become those men that are so desperately needed in this country, no matter what CNN says. Men that ain't afraid to pray in front of their kids. Men that ain't afraid to say a blessing in a restaurant. Men that ask what the children's doing to know where they're at. That's what we need. And ladies, we need help to be those kind of men. And if you want, ladies, if you want more from your husband, your father, pray for them. Pray for them to be the men God wants them to be. Sometimes our version of who a person can be and God's version of who they are may be two different things, but I read something that God's plans are so much bigger than our dreams. And if we let ourselves be used by God and the Holy Spirit, it can be so much better than we can think about. And to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you will be filled up to the fullness of God. And God's love, it has certain characteristics that we all need, we just crave, especially fathers, though, and husbands who are struggling. God's love, it's steadfast and is unchanging. In Deuteronomy 7:9, know therefore the Lord your God. He is God, the faithful God, who keeps his covenant and his loving kindness to a thousandth generation with those who love him and keep his commandments. That was before the Israelites went into the promised land. God's love comforts us. Zephaniah 3:17, the Lord your God's in your midst, the mighty one who will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He'll quiet you by his love, and he will exalt over you with loud singing. God's love is revealed to us through Jesus Christ. Christ is the culmination of God's love. Romans 5:8, but God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus died for us. God's love is poured into us through the Holy Spirit. In Galatians 5:22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, and faithfulness. And God's love compels us to love one another. And this can be really hard to love one another. But our kids take our examples. Remember when Braden was little, Lisa and I were talking about something, and we didn't think he was listening, and he was like a tape recorder about 2 hours later. And so many kids are like that. They're listening. They're listening. They're watching us. When we're talking to them, telling them not to do something, they may not be listening that much. But when we're out here doing stuff, they're looking and they're watching. And there have been times I have prayed, just like the Rodney Atkins song, Lord, just help me help my stupid self and act right in front of this child. And God's love. And that's one of the times, I think, where we kind of have to, where we're defined as fathers and as men, when we have to deal with those people that we really don't like to deal with. Some of those that we rationalize they're in a bad mood because a house dropped on their sister after a tornado. Those kind of people. But you have to deal with them. And our kids are watching. They're watching our phone. They're listening to our phone calls, our side of it. They're watching how we deal with people. And ladies, as guys, we need help with that. To pray for us to be able to do what God wants us to do. John tells us in John 13 that 34 and 35, new commandment I give you that you love one another, even as I have loved you and that you also love one another. And by this, all men will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Now, y'all, we're coming to the end of our message here. But before I ask you to stand for prayer, I want especially all the ladies in the room, anybody, but especially the ladies, get people in your mind that you think you need to pray for to be a better father, be a better husband. Maybe they're struggling with something, and they're good men, but they're struggling. Because we all have battles. You've heard me say it before. We all fight battles. And maybe they're struggling with something right now. Pray for them. Prayer works. Prayer, I looked it up one time, how many times the word prayer is mentioned in the New Testament alone. It's amazing. That's God's emphasis on prayer. And ladies, your husbands, your wives, not going to start down that road. Your husbands, your boyfriends, the people in your life, your sons, they need this prayer. So many times we pray for people and we pray for them by name, and then sometimes I don't pray enough for what they really need. And it could be just it could just be being able to just stand up, or maybe something they've dealt with for years to be able to put it to rest. Because we're defined, so many times we're defined by what's happened to us in our past. And I ask that you just get their faces in your mind and what they need. And when we go to prayer, just pray for them, for what they need. And then just repeat daily. Because it's a battle. Saints can fall away. Sinners can come in. We need this daily. If I can get everybody to stand with me, please, and then we're going to... Yes, sir.
I just got a text from a DSS coworker.
Yes.
The girl's name is Marquita. She's in the hospital, and they said that brain dead. We need to be praying. So please.
Yes, yes. Marquita?
Marquita.
Yes, please. Let's just, before we pray to end our service, please, let's stand up and pray for Marquita. Heavenly Father, we come to you in prayer, lifting up Marquita. Father, please pour your grace and your mercy and your healing on her. Father, guide the hands and hearts and mouths of every person that's taking care of her. Father, you are the great physician. Father, we ask for healing for this woman. Father, we ask that you work through every one of the people that take care of her. Father, it doesn't matter if they're handling paperwork, they're drawing blood. Father, deal with them, work through them, guide their hands, guide their hearts. Give these doctors the wisdom they need, Father, to see beyond the test, to see beyond the numbers, to see this person in this bed. Father, we lift them up to you. Father, please help this lady. Please. We lose track sometimes of the person in the bed. Father, help them to focus on this woman, not the lab results, not the test, to focus on this woman and do what is best for her, Father, and put it in their hearts what is best for this woman. Father, we lift up her family that's going through this. Father, loss and injury is just, it's terrible, especially when it's sudden. Father, we lift this family up to you because they are struggling. They are struggling every minute. They are struggling to put one foot in front of another. They are struggling to come to terms with this situation, Father. We ask that you lift them up, Father. Be with them, Father. Help them realize that you are with them during this storm. Put your hands on them, Father. Please, just put your hands on them. Be with them. Give them the strength and the grace that they need, Father, to make it through this. Father, guide them through the minutes, the hours, the days, which are going to seem like months and years to them, Father. They're going to hang on every phone call. They're going to hang on every time somebody comes out of that room. Father, we just ask that you be with them. And Father, we know what men say, but we know your plans are greater than anything we can come up with. All these things in Jesus' name we pray, amen. Greg, you can go ahead and start the music. Y'all, these altars are open for prayer. Anyone that wants to come here to pray in your seats, but just please pray.